The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Seeing Red Radio.
Truth is, there's been a class war waged in America for 30 years now, from the top down, and the rich have won.
We carried forth that great gift of freedom and delivered it safely to future generations.
To protect the haves from the have-nots.
Freedom is the universal gift of Almighty God.
To maintain the security of those who accumulate wealth from the labor of others.
We will not apologize for our way of life, nor will we waver in its defense.
To protect wealth from the poverty that wealth creates.
We will work with our friends and allies across the world to defend our way of life.
Corporate and political powers connive to keep wages down while shredding the workers' safety net.
Time comes when silence is betrayal.
Seeing Red Radio.
We can usher in a new era of enhanced prosperity and peace.
The great American wealth machine has been cranking out jackpots for the people at the top.
America must play its role in ushering in a new era of peace.
And pushing working people further down the ladder.
Did our generation advance the cause of freedom?
I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land. That it should be a collective ownership.
That time has come for us.
There comes a time when the operation of the machine is so odious.
I have been proud to be a part of a strong bipartisan consensus.
That you cannot even tacitly participate. You've got to place your bodies on the gears, the wheels, all the mechanism, and you've got to indicate to those who own it and those who run it that unless you are free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Solidarity, brothers and sisters, welcome to Seeing Red Radio, the radio show with a revolutionary socialist perspective. We believe another world is possible, and it is our project to make that world a reality. I am your host, Anthony Udell. Welcome. Welcome to the program. On this week's edition of Seeing Red Radio, we will feature Seeing Red's tribute to the Black Panther Party. We ran this about 5 weeks ago, but due to some technical difficulties, it never made it to the podcast. That's all in this week's edition as well. Let me not forget Seeing Red Radio. We're on Twitter, believe it or not. Stay tuned. Enjoy.
On April 6th, members of the Black Panther Party were ambushed by the open pig. And when Lil Body was killed, he came out the house with his arms up. Pigs told him to run to the car, and they shot him down. Lil Bobby is only one example. He represents all the other black men and women who have been murdered and killed throughout history for the last 400 years or when black people were first brought over here. Lil Bobby, he was the first member of the Black Panther Party. He was dedicated, he was young, he was only 17. He was disciplined, he knew what he was fighting for, and he had his principles, the things he fought for, maybe other black men didn't realize what was going on, and people still don't realize what Lil Bobby died for. He died for black people. He died for the revolution, so other black people and people of the third world can gain their freedom. Their freedom, which has been denied, say, for the last 400 years when they promises are said that we were free during after the Civil War.
The Oakland Police Department is a group of murderers and hard-nosed racists, and they are bent on wiping out the leadership of the Panther, and not only the leadership of the Panther, of anyone who will dissent in a political way against the status quo. One of the chief goals of the Black Panther is to drive this foreign troop out so that we would have the right to determine our own destiny.
And as far as any are concerned, we note before you have any freedom, you're going to have security. You must have security. And this is one of the reasons that the Vietnamese people haven't petitioned the American government to give them civil rights or human rights or to modify the establishments or the institutions within Vietnam, because they realize that they must handle first things first. First, that they must drive the oppressor out, and then they could institute institutions that will be for the benefit of the people there.
The home of the free, the land of the brave, where fear and frustration dance on your grave, where martial law blows in the breeze with basketball plays and the greatest of ease. No more health care, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes. College education at a minimum wage, looking at the future and then turning the page. Homeless in shelters, homeless tomorrow, one paycheck away from homeless sorrow. The global economy becomes a global slave. Who do we dispose of and who do we save? The panther is yawning, the rhythm and blues, conservative smiles on the 5 o'clock news. Here comes news, here comes the ground, here comes the fury, here comes the sound.
No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes. No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes.
Hitmen for America with contracts to kill. Right-wing fantasies on a liberal thrill. Debates the deals and media leaks. They get the talk shows and we get the freaks. Neighborhood jails for neighborhood crimes. Family and friends drop neighborhood dimes. No public TV, no public opinion. Total oppression of a total dominion. The real design, the ultimate plan. Confusion becomes God and God becomes man. Bobby Hutton was the first to go. The panther raised and tried to grow. He licked his wounds, he buried his dead. He bowed his arrogance but never his head. Into the country, out the back door. CIA, DEA pimping this whore. Guns, badges and ID cards. Corruption complete with security guards. A kilo of a vial, a pipe of gram, are closely related to Uncle Sam. We sniff your bags, you sniff our blow. Playing with justice while playing the pro.
No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes. No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes.
Mama's in the crack house, daddy's at the border. Dial 911 and place your order. The war on drugs, one great big joke. Can you finish the paperwork? Well, I finished the code. Record companies with thumbs up their ass, blowing smoke up yours while passing gas. Sing that song, tap your feet. There goes our music, here comes their beat. It once was real, it once was true. It once had meaning, we once knew. Powerful men with so little eyes, feasting on children with illusion and lies. Control, manipulate, manipulate control. They pump up the volume and twist our soul. Bunchy Carter was a sacrifice. Fred Hampton paid the price. They came from the heart, they came from the street, without Glock 9s or hip-hop beats. Gun battles, death and mental fatigue. Who was down and who was in league? Gangster rap, gangster sham, gangster dreams of who I am. From the rural south, the industrial north, the panther came stalking, the panther came forth. Huey, Bobby, and Geronimo Pratt, a Finney and a Sada, some of all of that. Young, precocious, and very brave. They made mistakes, but always gave. Irresponsible, we sold them out. Instead of support, we gave them doubt. Afraid of ourselves, afraid to be free. Afraid of being what it means to be.
No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes. No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes.
Niggas, niggers desiring the American prize, trying COINTELPRO on for size, turning their backs on the rising sun, turning their backs to a loaded gun, caught in between what it means to be white, the phony left and the dangerous right. Protect yourself, protect your kind, self-defense from a selfless mind, justice for yours, justice for all, the beauty of the panther up against the wall. He wins, he loses, he fights again. His love for freedom, his only friend. Understand the panther, understand the law. The fight for justice can be brutal and raw.
We are here to give praise to a man who symbolizes much of what has been happening over the past 7 or 8 years, and the mere fact that he is in prison today signifies that the black liberation struggle rose to a new tide of resistance in 1967. The fact that Brother Carmichael has consented to come and make his first appearance after being hailed in the revolutionary capitals. The fact that Brother Rap Brown, Manhattan, and he himself of house arrest on the island of Manhattan, and he himself is out here tonight to celebrate the birthday of Huey Newton. Let's give to the chairman of the Black Panther Party, Brother Seals, Minister of Information, and all these brothers that you see around here who have picked up the gun and said to the biggest cops in Oakland, no more occupation of our community.
Real First Patrol was down on 7th Street in West Oakland, California. We had 11 or 12 brothers that night.
Huey, Bobby, little Bobby Hutton, the Forte brothers, Sherman, who was also a part of that first cadre, and Albert Big Man Howard.
I'm telling Huey on the walkie-talkie, because I'm riding the lead car, Huey, we got a policeman down here. There's a lot of people down here in the corner. Let's get out here, man, because he's arresting somebody. We pull over. We park legally. We're 100-and-some feet away. We all pile out the cars. We're a well-organized group, and we're observing the police under the law, and we're not going to take any crap from them if they do try something. But we want to recruit the people. We try to capture the imagination of the people in the community to let them know. I think somebody, I remember saying, what they got, sticks? Because, you know, it's dark, and people don't expect to see people with guns, black folks, right? And it's nighttime, like. And somebody said, man, no, them some goddamn guns. And somebody said, I'm getting the hell out of here. Huey tells this brother who says, I'm getting out of here. He says, no, 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 you don't have to leave. We're a new organization. We're the Black Panther Party. We're here to observe these police out here. We've been brutalizing our people in the community. So please stay. We've researched the law. Everybody know we have a right to observe the police. Well, that got the police's attention. He stands up. You have no right to observe me, he hollers at Huey. But Huey says, no. Huey's citing the specifics of the damn law. And some sister in the audience said, well, go ahead on and tell it. And another brother said, what kind of Negroes is these? And the cop says, well, is that gun loaded? He said, if I know it's loaded, that's good enough. This scene, man, is a scene where, bang, when Huey says, clap, if I know it's loaded, that's good enough, it caused little Bobby to say, yeah, that's right, I haven't jacked around the chamber. Clap. And the other brother with the long guns, clap, 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 clap. And the cop turned around and saw all these people jacking the rounds off in the chamber. It blew his mind. He was awed. He stepped over to his arrestee. He opened the back door. Unconsciously, he protected the arrestee's head, put him in the car, shut the door. Then he stopped to look at the sister. And he was shocked because the sister had the earrings on. That well, female was even there with a big old 44 strapped down, something like Clint Eastwood or something. Well, what are we doing? We passing out the 10-point platform of program. Political education session meeting is at 2 p.m. at 5624 Grove Street up in North Oakland. Please be there, brothers and sisters, because we're going to organize a political electoral community power in the black community. That's how the Black Panther Party got started.
Plan my work, all work day. My plan. Something like this.
Soon as my comrade calls, I'ma be right there, strapped up, ready for war. All for one, one for all.
Get back.
Who can you call when your back's against the wall? Soon as my comrade calls, I'ma be right there, strapped up, ready for war. All for one, one for all.
Get back.
Who can you call when your back's against the wall?
Picture the serious situation. It's on and they. Blazing and you getting burnt by the shell casings. Esophagus, that is war that you engage in. Not the Middle East invasion. Hood banging like the pigs in BLA did. You better.
RBG?
Hell, motherfucking yeah.
What's poppin', my family?
I got my back against the wall. Chase Bank in Times Square. I'm surrounded by the boys.
Son, I'm almost there. I'm a couple of blocks away with a couple of Glocks to spray your AK and a bomb in the shoddy I cop today. I'm a revolutionist. I'm an executionist. My comrade call, I'll be the first one shooting.
Soon as my comrade calls, I'ma be right there strapped up, ready for war. All for one, one for all.
Get back.
Who can you call when your back's against the wall? Soon as my comrade calls, I'ma be right there strapped up, ready for war. All for one, one for all.
Get back.
Who can you call when your back's against the wall?
Calling them one, could you give me
the... The people have to stand up and demand, and they have to understand that they have a right. They have a right to demand that these judicial procedures be carried out in the right manner.
The revolution has come.
Off the beat.
It's time to pick up the gun.
Off the beat.
The revolution has come.
Off the beat.
It's time to pick up the gun.
Off the beat.
The revolution has come.
Off the beat.
It's time to pick up the gun.
Off the beat.
Black Panther Party made a coalition with the Peace and Freedom Party, which is primarily a white group. We see it necessary to fight on two fronts. We must liberate the colony as well as stimulate revolution in the mother country. Because I think that the revolutionary students play a great part in saving America. If it were not for the white students, the Black Panther Party would react to the racism in the country and therefore respond with racism. White students have been very interested in the past of the foreign policy of the United States. They're demanding that the United States withdraw from Vietnam, stop brutalizing the Vietnamese people, and we feel that the white students should relate and pay more attention to the colonized situation here of the blacks first, because after all, this is home. And they should. This is not to say that they shouldn't denounce America's treacherous actions abroad. I think they can be done at the same time. That it's just a matter of placing emphasis upon the criminal activities of America here in the homeland.
2, 3, 4. People get tired of being poor. 5, 10, 15, 20. Why you so mad when you got plenty? Fighting for food, for energy, for space, in the name of religion, class, and race. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Last night, night before, mind control was for the black and poor. Now black, poor, or college bred, it's behavior modification or you end up dead. All here, all here, all here, all here. Last night, night before, poverty pimps cried black and poor. Now selling their souls across the nation, living in high-rise isolation, making obsolete two-cent deals, being lubricating grease for the system's wheels. In the name of class, they sell their race and cut off their nose to spite their face. In their high-heeled shoes, they're claiming class while damning the folks still in the grass and hollering, party time, party time, party time. Last night, night before, the silent majority blamed the dark, the poor. They blamed the schools, they blamed the slums, they blamed the lazy welfare bums. Last night, night before, the fearful ran to tyranny's door. Now tyranny reigns through the suburb and the slums, because everybody goes when the wagon comes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 24 policemen at the door. People got up, let them in, ended up dead in the cooling bin. Oh, here, oh, here, oh, here, oh, here. It's tomorrow's time. It's time for yesterday. Time has no value, no price, but we pay, time has no value, no price, but we pay. Get us people. Don't talk about no Bill of Rights. Oh, they're on the top step, standing outside your door. Can't you hear them coming, calling? You don't live here anymore. The king is at the ball game. The people in a cage. The Constitution's buried. The jester in a protective reaction rage. Scared the press and TV stations. You can't see what they do. Ain't to be no fussing when they come for you. Radio is programmed. Been told what to say. World ain't gonna hear it when they take you away. Come to get me in the mornings. Come to get you in the nights. When they come to get us people, don't talk about no Bill of Rights. They're on the second step, standing outside your door. Can't you hear them coming, calling? You don't live here anymore. Numbers will identify you. Factories will take your hair. Surgery to code and sterilize you. Skin is all you wear. Helicopters whirling, whirling, following where you walk. Machines and people hiding, listening when you talk. Guard dogs marching, 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 telling you what to do. Whistles blowing, blowing time for your curfew. Come to get me in the mornings, come to get you in the nights. When they come to get us people, don't talk about no Bill of Rights. Oh, they're on the top step, coming inside your door. Can't you hear them? Can't you hear them? Can't you hear them?
Explain to you who Brother Huey P. Newton is in his soul. I got to explain to you also your soul, your needs, your political desires and needs, because that is Huey's soul. When we first organized the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Huey said, Bobby, he says, we're going to draw up a basic platform, just basic, that black people can read. He says, dissertation real elaborate with all these essays and dissertations and all this stuff, because the brother going to look at that and he can say, man, I ain't got time for that. I got to go see what I can do for myself. It's just a basic platform that the mothers who struggle hard to raise us, that the fathers who worked hard, that the young brothers in school who come out of school semi-illiterate. You say, we want freedom, we want power to determine the destiny of our black community. Full employment for our people. Number three, we want housing fit, decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. Number four, we want all black men to be exempt from military service. Number five, we want decent education for our black people in our community that teaches us the true nature of this decadent racist society, and to teach black people
And our young black brothers and sisters, their place in society, because if they don't know their place in society and in the world, they can't relate to anything else. Number six, we want an end to the robbery by the white racist businessmen of black people and black people in their communities. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and... Black men held in county, state, federal jails and prisons to be released because they have not had a fair trial because they've been tried by all white juries, and that's just like being tried in Germany being a Jew. Number eight, we want black people, number nine, when brought to trial to be tried by members of their peers. And a peer being one who comes from the same economic, social, religious, historical, and racial background. If the United States government and the courts and the local courts did this, they would have to choose black people from the black community to sit up on the jury. They'd have to choose some of the mothers who've been working 20 years in Miss Ann's kitchen scrubbing floors like my mother had done. They have to choose some of them hard-working fathers. They have to choose some of those brothers who stand on the block out there wondering where they're going to get a gig. They're going to have to choose these black people. And number 10, he would say, let's just summarize it. We want housing, we want clothing, we want education, we want justice, and we want peace. This is a basic platform. In case you never knew it or not, of all the things that you've heard in the press, of all the derogatory statements that's been made in the press about Brother Huey P. Newton, and I, of all these derogatory statements to guide you away from seeing this basic platform that Huey was talking about for his own people. We have to learn to look through the white press. We have to learn to see what's going on. Now, out of this platform, Huey P. Newton realized that it was necessary for us to start working on these points, these 10 points, practically. Remember number seven? We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. This is very, very important. And here, whether you know it or not, is where you start dealing with the black revolution. When Huey says, every black man put a shotgun in your home. And once we let the man know, say, look, we don't have you brutalizing none of our people, throw you from our windows. And we're not going to have you brutalizing none of our people in the streets. Do you realize what kind of power black people have then? Because you begin to neutralize that police force, because them cops going to start riding shaky and scared. In fact, we're in a position then to demand that they withdraw from our community because they occupy our community just like a foreign troop occupies territory. Very important to understand. We hate cops beating black people over their heads and murdering them. That's what we hate. If you got enough energy to sit down and hate a white person just because of the color of his skin, you wasted a lot of energy. You better take that same energy and put it in some motion out there and start dealing with those oppressive conditions, and you're going to find out just what you hate and what you're going to stop. Black people, we are organizing to stop racism. You dig it? When you stop racism, you stop brutality and murder of black people by the racist occupying army in our black community. That's what we're going to stop. What's being done to us? You dig it? Can you dig the white power structure and this racist police force and how they've escalated the situation? That before Watts, there was 1,300 cops. Now there's 6,000 cops patrolling black people. That in Oakland, they had 350 cops. Just 3.5 years ago, now they got 1,000 cops patrolling black people. San Francisco's doubled its police force, and every area, major metropolis where black people live all across this country, they've doubled, tripled, and quadrupled their police force, equipped them with tanks, all kinds. We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Said you better let my people go. Let my people go.
Fred Hampton was only 20 years old, but he had the ability to really move people, to speak in a way that got people going, that effectively seemed to energize them.
He was beginning to develop a following, you know, throughout the country, and he was a direct threat to the power structure that oppress people.
People learn by example. I don't think anybody has an argument with that. I think that when Huey P. Newton said that people learn basically by observation and participation, I think that everybody caught on to that. So what we're saying very simply is that if they learn by observation and participation, then we need to do more acting than we need to do writing. And I think the Black Panther Party's doing that. That we didn't talk about a Breakfast for Children program, we've got one. We're not going to tell you how many kids we intend to feed in Chicago. We're feeding 3,000 to 4,000 every week already, and I don't know how many all around the country. We're not talking about beginning to think about treating people free when they need medical services. We're opening a free health clinic in the city of Chicago in less than 3 weeks. These are the type of examples that people can relate to.
The immediate, violent, criminal reaction of the occupants in shooting at announced police officers emphasizes the extreme viciousness of the Black Panther Party. So does their refusal to cease firing at the police officers when urged to do so several times.
Ed Hanrahan, who was the political heir apparent of Mayor Daley, wanted to take credit for having killed this Black Panther leader. So he went on television, and he went on television explaining how Fred Hampton had come out of his bedroom firing a pistol, and how all the Panthers inside had repeatedly broken ceasefires and repeatedly fired at the police. The problem is, when you fire a bullet, two things happen. You have a shell that comes from your gun, and you have a bullet that comes out the other end. When the evidence was all gathered, it turned out that all the shells that were found in the apartment came from police weapons, with the possible exception of one. all the bullet holes, the directions of those bullet holes were all coming inside from outside. That is, was showed that they were fired by the police. So that all of the evidence that Hanrahan said, all the evidence that was gathered proved that it was the police who fired, not the Panthers. Hanrahan went even further and actually pointed to places on the back door, which he said were evidence in pictures that the Panthers fired. The press themselves, when they looked closely at these pictures and returned to the scene, discovered that these were in fact nail heads and weren't bullet holes at all. The federal government at first appeared to be coming in and do a neutral investigation. And what the federal government did find, of course, was that it was the police and not the Panthers who had fired. Under their cover, though, the federal government, under the cover of appearing neutral, the federal government hid their own role, which was that it was their informant who had gotten a floor plan of the apartment, and their informant had given their floor plan to Ed Hanrahan's raiders.
I was supposed to be one of the murdered Panthers, okay? However, my plans changed that evening, with, and the informant, William O'Neill, was unaware of the change in plans that I had made, so my plans had changed, and I was not in the apartment. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was in the apartment earlier, but I left the apartment. And so I wasn't there. So they went to plan two in order to get rid of me. They raided my apartment the next morning on December 5th, shot my door down, and they thought that I was in the apartment.
There had been a systematic effort by the FBI in Chicago and nationally to destroy the Panthers. Previously, the FBI in Chicago had sent a letter to the head of the El Rukins, Jeff Fort, telling him the Panthers were trying to assassinate him. Didn't he want to take some action to prevent that? They had deliberately attempted to provoke things between the Panthers and other groups and attempted to discredit the Panthers publicly.
They didn't have to kill every leader. All they had to do was kill one of the most important and up-and-coming and messianic leaders who was doing what Fred Hampton was doing, to send the message to all those young folks, whether they be black or white or Latin or whatever, who wanted to get involved in the struggle, that these are, this is the game that you're getting involved in. We'll kill you in your bed.
I think during different periods the government uses different tactics, that, you know, and sometimes their methods will be to publicly discredit groups, to jail people. We saw that sometimes with regard to the Wobblies, they actually did kill people. We saw with regard to the Communist Party, they frequently would jail people or attempt to ruin their reputations. I think with regard to the black movement in particular, the level, the escalation of the government's attacks was very clear. And I think assassination, setting people up for internecine rivalries which could lead to deaths, I think the government has shown a willingness to use any form of violence that it felt was necessary.
My skin is black, but that's no reason to hold me back.
Why don't you think about it, 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 think about it?
I have wants and desires just like you, so move on aside, because I'm coming through. Oh,
no matter how you try, you can stop. Stop me now.
Ooh. Yes, your skin is white. Does that make you right?
Why don't you think about it, 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 think about it?
This is a message to y'all. Together we stand, divided before.
Black is the color.
Like me.
Oh.
Here on Seeing Red Radio, a tribute to the Black Panther Party. You heard music from the likes right here of Derek Harriott, as well as Dead Prez, The Last Poets. We also had voices, the words of Bobby Seale, Huey Newton, right here on Seeing Red Radio, the Black Panther Party. We'll also feature on this edition of Seeing Red Radio a discussion of the incredible racist legislation. It's almost, you know, comes in threes. That's hit the Israeli Knesset. And we'll look back and pay a nod to 90 years ago, the Winnipeg General Strike. That's all coming up next on Seeing Red Radio. Stay tuned.
Yeah, the roads, not tall.
Man, you are going on the roads.
No, I am.
Kind of thing called socialism in the roads.
Well, I'm going to go socialize, I am.
See, don't we fight against capitalists? Can we get rid of capitalists? Can we stamp out capitalism and make we deal with socialism? Fanatic trade with the rhythm, but this is socialism. Fanatic trade with the rhythm, come on, and this is socialism. I said I went on a project, crash program project. And so me see the IG them, I shoot them trouble and the double them. No come for make no trouble, so no trouble them. For them are socialists. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Move ya. The rhythm. They say the rhythm is the rhythm, and the easy is the easy. But this is socialism, and not the trade with the rhythm. But not to trade with the rhythm. But this is socialism. We don't want no capitalism, as I would say. You know, a capitalist is a capturer, but a socialist only come to socialize. And you must be wise and realize. Say me went on a project, crash program project. And so me see the IG them, I shoot them shovel and they double them. No come for make no trouble, so no trouble them. For them are socialists. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Move ya. Come on, brothers and sisters. For we are social people, we are social people. Say the young generation and the old generation. Them not deal with capitalism, as I would say.
Come on, come on, socialize, Gaia.
Most. What do them not do?
Not do.
Jedo. Social, you know.
In a vote of 47-34, the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, has given initial approval to a bill that would criminalize opposing Israel's status as a Jewish state, punishable by up to a year in prison. The bill is aimed at Israeli Arabs who object to their status as second-class citizens in the nation. The bill was criticized by parts of the Israeli left, with Meretz party MP Haim Oron saying that he disagrees with people who believe Israel should not be a Jewish state, but feels that the law is quote-unquote insane and creates thought police. That's the best the left can offer, but that's what they say. It was the third bill this week targeting Israel's Arab minority. On Sunday, a committee approved a bill that would jail any Arabs caught commemorating Israel's Independence Day as the Nakba, or Day of Catastrophe. Advocates of the bill say that the Nakba protest marches were a threat to Israel's existence. The very next day, Israel Beitenu made good on its campaign pledge to introduce a bill requiring all Arabs to swear loyalty to Israel as a Jewish Zionist state, revoking the citizenship of all that refused. Such bills are not unheard of in Israel's history, but the election of a far-right government this year seems to have spawned several ambitious bills curtailing the Israeli Arabs' right to criticize the government they reside under. Also, it's been announced today that the World Bank report reveals a tremendous disparity of water supply between Israelis and Palestinians. The region faces a fifth consecutive year of drought this summer, but the World Bank report found huge disparities in water use between Israelis and Palestinians. Although both share the mountain aquifer that runs the length of the occupied West Bank, Palestinians have access to only a fifth of the water supply, while Israel, which controls the area, takes the rest, the bank said. Israelis use 240 cubic meters of water a person each year. Compare this with 75 cubic meters for West Bank Palestinians and 125 for Gazans, the World Bank said. Increasingly, West Bank Palestinians must rely on water bought from the Israeli National Water Company, Mekarot. In some areas of the West Bank, Palestinians are surviving on as little as 10 to 15 liters a person each day, which is at or below humanitarian disaster response levels recommended to avoid epidemics. In Gaza, where Palestinians rely on an aquifer that has become increasingly saline and polluted, the situation is worse. Only 5 to 10% of the available water is clean enough to drink. The Israeli government this week took this new step to suppress the democratic rights in Israel. The government approving this bill banning all commemoration of the Palestinian Nakba of 1948 under penalty of imprisonment. Now, the Nakba, which in Arabic is disaster, is a term Palestinians use to refer to the mass dispossession and obliteration of their homes and villages in conjunction with the formation of the State of Israel. This bill is yet to pass in the Israeli parliament, subject for now to heavy criticism from many Israeli parties, from the Israeli Labor Party to the Jewish Arab Hadash and the Arab parties. However, since the coalition government in Israel enjoys a majority of seats in the Knesset, the chances for seeing the law pass are quite high. We only have a few moments left on Seeing Red Radio. Let's take a small break with Bruce Coburn.
Here comes the helicopter, second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, I'd make somebody pay. I don't believe in guarded borders, and I don't believe in hate. I don't believe in generals or their stinking torture states. And when I talk with the survivors of things too sickening to relate, If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, I would retaliate. Starvation or some less humane fate. Cry for Guatemala with a corpse in every gate. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, I would not hesitate.
We do want to mark on this day in history, remembrance of 90 years ago, a tremendous labor action that occurred in the city, the Canadian city of Winnipeg in 1919. A general strike was sparked off by disputes in the building and metal trades. Construction workers in the building trades councils were attempting to recover their lost wages from wartime inflation. Over the period, prices had increased 75%. While wages had only increased about 13%. On May 6th, the trade council met to discuss their disputes. Delegates from the building trades reported that employers were threatening to remove recognition if the union did not accept their final offer. Ballots were distributed amongst all the union members, and the result was overwhelming. Over 95% of organized workers in the city of Winnipeg voted for an indefinite general strike. And at precisely 11 a.m., on the morning of May 15th, a Thursday, Winnipeg, the entire city came to a halt. However, women workers had the honor of starting the strike at 7 a.m. as 500 telephone operators walked off the job 4 hours early. The strike was total, with 94 of the 96 unions heeding the call. Eventually, some 30,000 people, almost the entire working population, both union and non-union, were walking the picket lines. The feeling that this was it, do or die. The workers would not face the same defeats and humiliations of past struggles. However, the workers and their leaders did not have a theoretical understanding of where the strike would take them. They were courageous working class fighters. Many of them considered themselves Marxists, but their aims were just to gain a union contract and recognition. They thought of a general strike as just like any other strike, but bigger, that with enough pressure, they could get the bosses to bend to the economic demands of the workers. Even those who believed in a socialist society saw it as something separate from the struggle. The capitalists and their state had a much higher level of class consciousness than the strike leaders and took immediate action. The forces of reaction formed a committee of 1,000, which was headed up by members, of course, of the Board of Trade, the Manufacturers Association, the Winnipeg Bar, wealthy individuals and students. They worked to undermine the strike by any means necessary, arranging volunteer scab labor and starting up a red scare about a strike being a Bolshevik conspiracy to overthrow the entire country of Canada. Civic police approached the strike committee, offered to join the strike and provide security for the pickets. And here we see, in the final analysis, when the class struggle reaches these level of proportions, even the organizations of the capitalist state suffer desertions to the side of the working class. The lower ranks of the police and the army are made up of working class men in uniform. No matter how many reactionary propaganda their officers try to instill, the ranks still have mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters in the factories, and with skillful agitation can be won over. The right-wing forces, they raised a hue and a cry over the lack of essential services. In a general strike, there's no milk or bread for both the workers and the bosses. However, in response, the strike committee did actually issue permits for essential deliveries, titled Permit by Authority of the Strike Committee. An indefinite strike is not the same as any other strike for economic demands. In a normal strike, workers attempt to get a boss to meet their demands by removing the boss's ability to make profits. General strike is no longer about profits. It asks the question, who is the master of this house? Not a wheel turns, not a light shines without the behest of the working class, and the general strike shows very clearly exactly who has the power. You've been listening to Seeing Red Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Check out the website at seeingredradio.org. Are not already subscribed to the Seeing Red Radio podcast? As I mentioned early on in the program, believe it or not, Seeing Red Radio now has a Twitter feed. So keep in constant contact of what's going on with the podcast and our regular broadcasts here at Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM. Please stay tuned. Coming up, as always, the music of Flywheel. We missed Leela last week, but she has returned in good stead. So please stay tuned for that. Again, you're listening to Seeing Red Radio. Thanks again.
Thinking impaired.
Seeing Red Radio.
Your enemy is ruling your country. And war is what they got.
You tell us to make the world safe for democracy. We will take you seriously, and by God and by Christ, we will make it so.
There's been a class war waged in America for 30 years now, from the top down, and the rich have won.
Seeing Red.
I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land, that it should be a collective ownership.
Radio with a revolutionary socialist perspective.
Seeing Red.
The menace to our lives does not lie on the other side of a no man's land set apart without our consent. It lies within our own boundaries here.
We will wage the war that has to be won.
Featuring headlines from the front lines of the international class war.
We must be prepared to match actions with words.
Seeing Red Radio brings you the news that the corporate news media actively suppresses.
Give us the slogans. We'll turn them into realities. Sing the battle hymns, and we'll pick them up where you left off.
By seeking out every creative method of protest possible.
We feature the latest from the struggle of working class people to achieve what they rightly deserve from the international ruling class that steals from them each and every day.
Help, 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 I've been robbed, help, I've been robbed.
That's Seeing Red Radio.
I've been robbed by the capitalist system.
Available every Thursday from 8 until 9 p.m. right here at Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP. Northampton.
Struggle must go on until the workers of the world organize as a class, take possession of the earth and the machinery of production, and abolish the wage system.